Welcome, everyone. This is our real estate investors group, and we originally were the Happy House Hunters. We still go under that title. We have a Facebook group called Happy House Hunters. We have a meetup group called Happy House Hunters. But we hold hands with the coin, with the quarry, with the profit, with real estate. We hold hands with a lot of the other real estate groups in Central Ohio because that's where I'm located. But you can, wherever you are, you can look up some of those real estate groups for yourself in whatever area you're in. And I recommend that you do that because the more you rub elbows with real estate investors, the more you will understand the whole process. And it is a process. It doesn't come all at once. It is a process that you have to get comfortable with. There's a process of thinking that you have to get comfortable with, a process of financing that you have to get comfortable with. And so on this call, we meet the third Monday of every month and we talk about the six F's of real estate investing. And the six F's are, first of all, you have to find the real estate, then you have to fund it. Once you find it and fund it, then very possibly there are some things that you have to do to fix it. And that's our topic for today is the fixing of the deals. And then once you find it and fund it and fix it, then you have to decide, am I going to flip it or am I going to hold it and fill it? And then at the end of the day, what is your freedom number? How many of those do you have to do to make that day job optional? And I don't know about you, but I kind of like the idea of having an optional day job. I'm not saying you have to quit your day job. I'm just saying that you could if you wanted to, because once you reach your freedom number, it will take care of your monthly budget. And then from there, you can decide just how much or how little you really want to punch that time clock. So that's what we're talking about today. We talked all about finding it. Kyle is my co-host, my co-mod. And Kyle, I'm going to actually click through there and make you a co-host just in case I get bumped off the call. And Dora, you certainly know, and she is going to be my guest today, and she understands the Zoom process. I'm going to make her a co-host as well. And the only reason I do that and ask me how I know this is if I get bumped off the call, somebody has to be here to let me back in if my internet bumps me off. That's happened before. So anyway, so that's why I add one or more co-hosts to my call when I get started. So with that, I want to talk a little bit to Kyle. He is my official co-host for the real estate investors, and he's the one that helps us get into all the properties that we want to see. And he is also the one that helps us do our boots on the ground here locally. And we take groups through homes and we actually show you what we're looking for. And we talk a lot of times to the owner, to the investor that is fixing that home, and he's telling us everything he had to do to fix it. And Dora has let us do a couple of her condos as our boots on the ground. And we're going to talk to her today about a new one that she's purchasing and also a couple that I have going on. So over to you, Kyle. Tell us a little bit about what you do and how folks can get in touch with you and put that in the chat under everyone, if you would, your contact information. And tell us about your trip.
Yeah, so like Kathy said, I'm a realtor here in Central Ohio and a newbie investor myself, thanks to Kathy and this group. She really opened my eyes to using real estate as an investment vehicle. So yeah, I do the residential side of things and the commercial investment side of things too. I've got a house up in Mansfield, an old Victorian house that me and my uncle bought together, and we're currently remodeling. But yeah, it's really fun to go in and see what people are doing with different things. Like I love what Andora did with her condo downtown on the park. Like it turned out really awesome. And what Mark and Kathy are doing to their dining room, like real estate is it's just such a fun. There's just so many different things. There's so many different aspects to it, you know, inspections and financing and remodeling, and it's just a lot of fun. So it really is a passion of mine. It grew as a side hustle of mine, but now it's been my primary business for several years, and I couldn't be happier. And I will put my number and email and the text for everybody.
Yes, perfect. And Kyle is actually really expanding his wings. He leaves for Brazil and he's going to be talking and looking and immersing himself in real estate while he's in Brazil. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so one of my clients a few years ago, him and his family, they were living like his adult parents were living in one apartment in Dublin. Him and his wife were living in another apartment. His adult son was living in another apartment, and collectively they were spending like $6,000 a month on rent. And they're Portuguese. They like to live multi-generational under one roof, and they didn't think that they could qualify for a home. So just by simply having a conversation with them and educating them, I did get them qualified for a home. And now they're all living together under one roof and saving big bucks. And they're actually the ones sending me to Brazil as a thank you for my services. And he knows other families down there, other investors who want to invest in the US market, specifically Central Ohio, because of the boom. So I'm going down there. It's kind of a working vacation. So I'm going down there to meet potential investors and future clients.
How fun is that? So now you see why I'm kind of jealous right now, because I would, I told Kyle that I can pack in 10 minutes. I have my suitcase already ready. I travel with a backpack. Mark and I just got back. It's been about 10 weeks ago now. We backpacked across London and Paris. That's part of what I got to do in my travels. Mindy, I don't know if you can. Mindy just tapped in. I don't know if she can come up or not, but Mindy, you definitely can chat with us. It says allow to talk is not available because Mindy is using an older version of Zoom. Sorry, Mindy. I clicked the promote to panelist. I don't know if it lets you come up or not. If it does, feel free to do that. Maybe you can chat that way. But we see that you're there. Anyway,
Oops.
we just backpacked across London and Paris, and that was part of like Kyle is kind of getting some kudos for his help with his Brazilian friends. And so that is kind of our kudos to ourselves as we try to do one or two international trips a year. We never could afford to do that before, and we can do that now because of the real estate investing. And so it does change your lifestyle, and it does make that day job optional. So that I don't even have to ask my boss anymore. I can just go whenever I want. I love that. So anyway, we're going to get on with our program for today. It's about fixing some of this real estate, and I am going to introduce you to Andorra. She and I, oh gosh, how long ago have we made a connection, Andorra? It's been several years now. Can I hear you okay?
Yes, can you hear me okay?
I can, yes. So anyway, it's been a few years now. Andorra contacted me, and she wanted to have a coffee because, again, we realized that there were not a lot of women on the ground in this real estate investing market. If you go to some of the meetups early on, oftentimes I was the only female there, and Dora was the only female there, and so we finally kind of teamed up, and she is on my advisory board. That's another whole conversation for the filling segment when you're filling your real estate. But anyway, we do talk, oh gosh, maybe not every day, but often. So, Andorra, tell us a little bit about how you got started in the real estate. And
Okay.
Andorra and I, we're going to go back and forth today. So, Andorra, tell us a little bit about how you got started in the real estate, and then I'll share a little bit about how I got started in real estate.
Okay. My name is Andorra Marshall, and initially I got started in real estate kind of somewhat of an accident, so to speak. My mother had passed away, had owned my grandmother's home in Athens, Ohio, and so she left it to my sister, myself, and my brother. So I started with that. And then I thought, this is not such a bad thing. So then I bought my own home in Carroll, Ohio. And then I started buying houses that were very distressed in the Carroll, Ohio area, single family homes. And they just happened to be next door to me and within, you know how they talk about a buy box, like buying a house within 30 minutes. I thought, well, heck, this is like literally within walking distance of my house. So I started buying house. When I say distressed, we're talking properties. Like I think one was an old log cabin that had layers and layers of wallpaper on it. It was $30,000. And that was back in 19, I think it was 94, you know. So that's kind of how I got started in it. And then now I've kind of started buying after I met Kathy and kind of got involved in the group. It's really great to be able to talk to other people and bounce ideas off other people. So since then I've bought like condos, a duplex, and some commercial offices. And I'm finding out what I really like. But I said all of these properties have needed some sort of work. So back to you, Kathy.
Wow. I'm a little bit different than Andorra in the fact that when I got started, I was a single mom working two jobs and got into the salon business, the salon industry. And after a couple of years being a booth renter, that's a very common phrase in Central Ohio, especially, the girls twisted my arm to be an owner. They wanted to leave the salon we were all in, and they didn't want to take on the responsibility of owning a salon. So they were twisting my arm since I was like the oldest one in the group. I was like in my 40s. They were all in their 20s. And so they wanted me to open a salon. And of course I went kicking and screaming because I didn't want to worry about, you know, the roof leaking and the door locks and the toilet running over. And, you know, I just wanted to do my clients and go home like they did. But I finally succumbed and said, okay, I will open a salon on one condition. I am not going to own a salon for 30 years and retire at the other end with a shoebox full of rent receipts. The only way I'll do this is if I can buy the building. And I wasn't even expecting to cash flow. I had no idea that one could even cash flow. That wasn't even an option, or I didn't even think about that. All I knew is that at the end of 20 or 30 years, I wanted a paid for building. Even if all I did was break even during that time, I would at least end up having something, you know, where I could have some sort of a retirement. So that was my plan, and I bought the first one, and it worked really well. I loved everything about the salon business. I loved how crazy busy it was. I loved hearing all the clients and the staff, and you know, and just if you've been in a beauty salon, you know how crazy it can be. And I loved everything about that. Probably it went along with my ADHD, all that craziness going on. And so a couple of years in, I did it a second time. And a couple of years after that, I did it a third time and a fourth time and a fifth time. And I ended up retiring 25 years later with 5 paid for commercial buildings. So I did it all very traditional, just went to the bank, put 20% down, borrowed the rest, just like you do when you buy a house. And of course, since it was commercial space, I had to do it on conventional loans. And I just traditionally got the loans and started making the payments. And they really didn't cash flow during the time that, you know, I was paying on everything. They ended up cash flowing actually after they were paid off, which took, you know, being a commercial note, they were all 20-year notes. So 20 years in, and then since I staggered purchasing up to 5, it took me all 25 years for all 5 of them to finally get paid off. And so I now am sitting on 5 paid for commercial buildings. And but I continued to, you know, to crank out clients and cash flow with my client base. And so from there, I started buying some single families. And that's how I ended up with 28. Now, I know Marty said earlier, oh, yeah, 28. Well, the problem is that I'm really small potatoes in the real estate investing realm. And Andorra will tell you that we oftentimes, and Sue and Kyle, all of us, we oftentimes are rubbing elbows with folks that have 100 units, 200 units, 500 mm-hmm. units. So for me to have 28 units, I'm very small potatoes in the industry. So anyway, but I did it. And that's the good thing. So Andorra, we are now in an area of midterm rentals. Now I'll put a little bit of background to midterm. First of all, when COVID came through, midterm rentals became all the rave because all the hospitals were desperate for nurses in these bigger cities, and Columbus was one of the cities. They were desperate for nurses because they had so many patients coming in, and they were working so many hours, and I don't know if you all remember the television coverage at the time, New York City, there were people lined up around the block. I mean, it was crazy. And these visiting nurses, traveling nurses, they had to have a place to stay, but they had homes, they had families, they had children, they had expenses already, but now they needed to find a temporary housing. And for those of you that are in the midterm market, you'll realize that most traveling nurses travel on a 13-week assignment, and then either their assignment ends or it gets renewed or they get moved to another city. And so all of a sudden, it's this whole audience of folks that need a place to live that didn't have a place. And they either could do short term through like Airbnb, or they were trying to rent, an apartment for the full year and then break the lease when their assignment, it was just a mess. And so software popped up, apps popped up, and one is Furnished Finders popped up to try to answer the call. They tried to be able to have a place where owners could put their properties and traveling nurses could search for those properties, and it was more of a matchmaker kind of service. It's not like an Airbnb where they could go in there and just book something. It was just more of a matchmaker kind of service. Like, here's what I'm looking for, and an owner might say, oh, here's what I have to offer, and it's kind of a matchmaker service. Now, I want to say something before we go any further. And so I'm going to repeat it twice because this is very important. There's no really such thing as a midterm rental, because once a tenant is in your unit for 30 days, they have full tenant rights, just like a long-term renter would have. So as the landlord, you are providing a property that we call midterm, and all it is, it's a long-term rental agreement that you're going to treat that tenant like a short-term guest. And I'll say that again. It's a long-term rental agreement on 30 days, 13 weeks, whatever, because once they pass 30 days, they have all tenancy rights just like a long-term tenant. But you're going to treat them like a short-term guest, meaning the unit's going to be fully furnished, right down to towels and dishes and silverware and everything that I even supply laundry soap and their first round of paper towels and all of that. So that's all about filling those units. But we're going to talk today about how you fix them. So my first one was really a sweet deal. A realtor called me. Kyle, I'm sorry, I cheated on you. A realtor called me out of Columbus. And she said, I just bought a one bedroom unit. And she said, and the one next door has just come available. And she said, I see what you're doing. And she said, I thought you might be interested in it. She said, I'm going to long term rent mine. She said, the good news is the HOA complex allows rentals. Okay, so that's point number one. Make sure that whatever you purchase as a midterm to use as a midterm, that you're allowed to rent it. So I like condos and Dora likes condos, and that's going to be the basis of our call today, is we're going to be talking about condos. If you have a single family and that single family is not in an HOA, then yeah, you can do midterm, because as soon as they're there for 30 days, it's same as a long-term tenant. Some zoning will say you cannot do short term. They don't want that overturning every day or every 2 days. And then of course we all read the Airbnb threads where, two people booked and then they had a party with 25 people, and then the neighborhood's all screaming because the cars are clogging up the whole neighborhood and there's trash everywhere, and you've all heard those horror stories. So a lot of areas will say no, we don't want any of that short-term stuff. And think about it, if it were your home next door, would you want a frat party going on every weekend, next door to you, and you wouldn't be able to even get in your driveway because your yard's parked full of cars and the street's parked full of cars and there's trash everywhere? And I'm not saying that all guests are bad. I'm just saying that those are the ones you hear about, and that's why a lot of municipalities have made a decision to not allow those short terms. So I guess what I really want to instill in you today is to do your due diligence and make sure that whatever you're going to buy, that is going to be allowed to have it as a rental. So some HOAs, especially in condo complexes, they don't even allow rentals, owner occupied only. So you don't want to jump in there and buy something and get all excited that you're going to do this and then discover that you can't. So do your due diligence ahead of time. Make sure that you can do what you want to do with it. So my first one, the gal was relocating and the realtor called. She said that you are allowed to rent in here, but the rule is it has to be for 30 days or more. And in other words, they're going to allow long-term rentals. And so I was like, oh, Oh, okay. Maybe this is my opportunity to try this midterm stuff because I hadn't tried it yet. So this was my first one. So I did my due diligence, realized that I was allowed to have a 30-day rental agreement. Didn't have to be 12 months. As long as it was 30 days or more, it was acceptable to the HOA. And so I met the seller and I just casually asked her, because her place was cute as a button. The floors already had laminate floors. The paint looked good. She had it decorated beautifully. And I don't know why, but just on a fluke, I asked her, I said, what are you going to do with your furniture? And she was like, well, I'm moving down to the Carolinas. She goes, I might try to get a moving truck and move it. But she goes, I've also thought maybe I should just sell it, that it was going to cost me more to move it than it would be to just. Because it's only a one bedroom. So she had like a couch, a nice little electric fireplace that the TV sat on top, a little four top table, a queen size bed, and a dresser. So she had like five pieces of furniture in, in the whole unit. And so I said, would you be interested if selling it? Would you let me know? And she said, sure. So she calls me up a couple of days later and she had this whole list of everything, including curtains and pictures on the wall and some dishes and everything that she decided that she could rebuy once she landed in the Carolinas. And she had it at $1,700. Well, we all know you can't even buy, a whole bed set for $1,700, let alone a whole one bedroom unit full of furniture. And her couch was leather, a big leather sectional with coffee table and end tables and lamps and, the whole nine yards. So I On a, me and Dora, me. On a fluke, I said, would you take 1500 cash for it? And she goes, yeah. So in the same time, I had listed it on Furnish Finder. And the first nurse that contacted me, I had it listed for 1500. Now that unit would normally rent for about seven at the time when I bought it, 700 a month for a long-term rental. Without paying utilities, or I mean, just as the landlord and somebody renting it to live in it long term would be about $700 a month. And so what I did is I basically doubled it. I think I had it at 750 and I just doubled it to 15. I put it on Furnish Finders, the nurse, and said it was fully furnished, And so this nurse came and she says, well, can I see it? I've been scammed a couple of times. And I said, oh, absolutely. So I met her there and she took one step inside the unit and she said, I'll take it because she saw how clean it was and it was all decorated and the furniture was all in place. And she handed me an envelope from her bank with $1,500 in it to pay cash for her first month's rent. And I literally took the cash in her envelope out of her hand and handed it to the seller to pay for the furniture. And so that was my first experience on having a midterm. Of course, she gave me a five-star review. She said I was very easy to work with, blah, 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 which is very helpful on Furnish Finders, by the way. And so from there, I have had a waiting list for that unit ever since. And so it's just now starting to come empty again. The little guy that's in there now is being transferred on his assignment. And so I just now put it back out on Furnish Finders and I've already had like four inquiries just this morning on it. So it won't last long. And to be fair, I didn't have to fix that one. Now, in between these tenants, I've now had it, oh gosh, Andorra, maybe 3 years. I might have had it now for about 3 years, maybe 4 years, because it was during the pandemic that I got it. So how long ago has that been? I think we're in year five now.
Yeah, I think so.
So anyway, I've had it filled. I haven't had it empty more than a day or two in between tenants, just long enough for me to go in to make sure everything's okay. And all I've had to do so far is just cleaning. I haven't had to fix anything. We had to change batteries in the door locks a couple of times, make sure the batteries and the smoke detectors are updated. But I haven't had to do anything. It was a good quality laminate floor, and so everything is seems to be working very well. And oh, I did have to have a maintenance call on the heater. This is one of those units where the heat and air come in through underneath the window, like you see in hotels. Or motels. It was one of those that comes through under the living room window that heats and cools the entire unit. And I did have a service call on that. I think that's the only service call that I've had on that unit the entire time I've owned it so far. So, knock on wood. But anyway, so now I'm working on one in Lancaster. And the one in Lancaster, number two, this is one that had been one of my commercial spaces. I had bought a fourplex in Lancaster, and the front of this fourplex was a commercial space of about 900 square feet. And I told Mark, I said, if and when I retire back in the day, I said, I want to turn this commercial space over to residential. And of course, he was like, what? And so I walked him through it and told him, I said, I want to put a tub, shower tub kit here. I want to put a door here. I want to make this a closet where the petty chair was of the salon. I want to turn that into the laundry room and have a hookup for washer and dryer. And where the hair sinks were in this big great room would is a perfect space to put the kitchen sink and just wrap it around the end of that room. And it turned out beautifully. It's been rented as residential space ever since 2017 is when I retired. So it's been commercial turned residential ever since then. And so just now, when the tenant moved out this time, and again, this fella got transferred on his job. And when he moved out this time, I said, okay, I want to make this one a midterm because it kind of looks like a commercial front for those that are familiar with Lancaster. And if you've seen it, you almost look at it and go, what? That's an apartment. It almost looks like a commercial front. And so I'm turning that one into a midterm. And again, I've got three folks that are interested in looking at it this week. And so I don't think I'll have any trouble getting that. Now, I did have to go in because the guy that was leaving, he scratched the stove a little bit. So as far as a fix, I just picked up some of appliance paint. You can buy it in little tiny tubes, like little tiny bottles, almost like an oversized nail polish bottle. And so I touched that up. And I have like a laundromat in my house. For those of you that know me, know that I run a guest house in my home. And Mark is always up to something that he can fix. And so he discovered on eBay that he could pick up these used washer and dryers, these big front load, high end that people are, for whatever reason, getting new ones. These work. And so he has found me three matching sets. I now have an official laundromat in my house, but I can flip all my guest rooms at one time. Literally, I can, because one whole bed set, because I wash everything, even down to the mattress pad. So one whole set can go in a washer, and I can actually do all three rooms at the same time now because of the volume of washers and dryers that I have. But what that left me with was a bunch of top loaders in my basement that I no longer needed. And so Mark's like, don't buy any washing machines for that midterm. You're turning it into a midterm. He said, we'll take one of those top loaders down there. I said, okay. So just yesterday, he installed washer and dryer into that unit that I'm now turning into a midterm. So it now has its own washer and dryer, and we have tons of furniture. I don't know about the rest of you that are investors, but I have a garage as my holding, and I have furniture coming out my ears. I have furniture as we move around. I have appliances, I've got furniture, I keep this stuff only because Mark is really good at moving it and fixing it. And it saves us hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of dollars, because we will grab stuff when we see it on consignment or on sale, and we have it then when we need something. And Andora was laughing at me one day, and Andora, you might remember this. Something will come up on Facebook in one of our groups, and they said, this realtor said, oh, I've got a house. It's going to be realtor owned. It's on the north side of Columbus. I'm tearing all the kitchen cabinets out. I'm tearing everything out, and whoever wants to come and get it can have it. I immediately called Mark and I said, Mark. And then Andora was like, oh, of course you did. And I called Mark and said, oh, you got to go get this. He and my grandson jumped in his truck. They ran to the north side. They got refrigerator, stove, dishwasher, an entire huge. This is one of those big houses. Probably went back on the market for twice what she paid for it when she got done with it. But and it's all that Lowe's high-end grade, but still Lowe's cabinetry that's that golden yellow, whatever walnut that nobody wants anymore. So Mark has airplanes. He has hangars for his airplanes that have some room along the sides. And so now he's got the best cabinets in his hangar that any other pilot has. But the point is that now when we buy a house that needs a new kitchen, we don't have to go out and pay top dollar for cabinets. He's got cabinets that somebody was going to throw away. We got them for free for him going and getting them. And so we store that stuff and it can be painted. We could change the doors out on it. We could simply paint it. There's all kinds of things we can do with it. And so that's kind of how we attack, if you will, the whole fixing part of getting these midterms ready, is that we kind of keep a reserve of stuff that we know that at some point we're going to need. And so I tell some of my brand new investors, you don't want to pay for storage somewhere that could get expensive on stuff that maybe you're never going to use. But if you already have property that has a barn or an extra garage, or even if you can put up a building on the back of one of your rentals that you can keep just for the owner, a place that you can store some of this stuff. And so with that, and I know Andorra looks like she's busy there doing something. I don't know if she's ready. But with that, I want Andorra to tell us a little bit about what she's doing with hers, and the fact that she is kind of targeting one particular location where she also has some storage on site, which is going to be helpful for her. And then one last thing on me, I am under contract on another one for a midterm in Lancaster, and appraisal hasn't come in yet, so I'm in limbo. So anyway, over to you, Andorra. Tell us about your latest. Well, tell us about the ones that you have, and then your latest one.
Okay, so I kind of focus. I love downtown Columbus, and years ago, when we also had a condo in Florida, St. Petersburg, Florida, and we bought it in 2014, but we sold it in 2021. At the time, I didn't realize what we were doing was called midterm because our condo complex wouldn't allow us to rent out any. The shortest amount of time was 30 days. However, you could rent 1 week, but that meant you forfeited the other 3 weeks rather. So I thought, wow, this condo thing, I can live in a different state and I can manage our short-term rental, which really wasn't a short-term rental, by the way, but that's what they called it. And this is 2014. So I thought I can kind of go ahead and rent this and I don't have to worry about the outside, about someone cutting the grass. And so I had some friends that already lived in the complex and they owned, or I'm sorry, they had a condo down there. So they already had great contacts for heating, cooling, repainter, all these things, which is really important. One of the main primary things today is if you don't know how to fix something, that you start building a list of all your contractors, for heating and cooling, plumbing, electrical. Those are no-brainer that you have to have. So, because you should probably be licensed in these different areas, right? If you're going to have somebody else do the work, unless your significant other or friend or somebody knows how to do that. But long story short, you're going to do that. So we bought the condo in Florida, and where I was able to self-manage living in Columbus, Ohio. And so that's when I thought, you know what, this condo thing is a great thing because I don't have to worry about the outside. So with that said, and then in 2018, we bought a condo downtown Columbus, and everybody was like, oh my gosh, that place, it was kind of being gentrified, so to speak. It was still kind of in an area that wasn't great, but I could see the vision. So that's another thing too, is when you see these places, and I know Kyle's going to agree with this, it's location, location, location. And what I loved about this is it was downtown, it's across the park, or it's across the street rather, from Franklin Park Conservatory. I also like researched the area and I saw that they were getting ready to put something in called East Market. For
Yes.
those of you who are from Columbus, Ohio, there's a place called North Market. Is there many Columbus, Ohio people on here? Oh, okay.
Yeah, several.
You okay. So if you're familiar with North Market, it's this really cool place where you can go in and you can it literally just is what it says. Like you can buy your meat there, you can buy coffee there, And it's a hodgepodge of like Mexican food, Italian food, just anything. And so I knew that they were going to build one fair, like within a half a mile of this condo. And then I also looked around and I thought, wait a minute, there's Ohio State Hospital, not the Ohio State Hospital, but another one that like specializes in burn victims, but it's still a full-fledged hospital. The reason I'm telling you this is when you are looking for a distressed property, you always want to pick the worst house in the best neighborhood. So I'll say that again, pick the worst house in the best neighborhood. And I like to buy cheap property because I don't want to stay up late at night worrying about how am I going to make my payment. And so I know that if I buy a distressed property, I'm going to be doing a lot of, elbow grease. I'm really going to be doing a lot of work. So learn very quickly what you can do and what you're willing to do. If you buy a piece of distressed property, make sure that you're willing to roll up your sleeves and do the cleaning in it, because that's usually step one is getting rid of the junk that nobody else wants. Okay. And step two is realizing what what your limits are. What are you willing to paint? Are you willing, coming up with a design? All of these things are huge when you're doing this. And when you're first starting out, like who has $200,000, $300,000 of cash just to buy that first property, right? So some of the first properties that I bought were the one in 2018 happened to be 75,000. And even in 2018, it was unheard of, and I think Kyle will agree with this and Kathy, to find a condo downtown Columbus with free parking across from a park for 75,000. Now, mind you, this one wasn't a distressed property, but people didn't really care for the neighborhood. It used to be the place back in the day, not the place. So my husband even's like, "Are you sure you want to get this? I don't know about this." I remember going past that place, when I was working downtown Columbus on the bus, and I remember thinking, "Oh, this seems like a dangerous area." And it wasn't in 2018, but that was in his mind. So also think about those areas and research when you're looking for properties that are kind of up and coming areas, right? So that was one thing. So then the other thing is, for those of you who know my husband Tom, he does not even like to put a hammer. That man won't even put a hammer in his hand, okay? He is not handy. So we knew that whatever we did, we would have to do the majority of work, or that have hired out the majority of work. And then I knew I'd be probably doing the cleaning and stuff because it's just not, this whole real estate is not his jam. He is not into it. So you have to know that. So a condo, the reason I love condos is because you don't have all that outside work to take care of. You don't have to worry about the roof. You don't. And in my case, for this particular condo, they do have high condo fees. However, in my condo fee, it includes all the unlimited gas, water, electricity, trash. It includes a gym. I will never have to worry about taking care of the furnace because there isn't a furnace. They take care of everything. I will never have to worry about a hot water tank. I will never have to worry about an AC unit. It's all wrapped up into this price. But the cautious thing about buying a condo when you are fixing it, mine's in a high rise, and so that it's a whole different ball game than anything I've ever done up until 2018. But with that said, I was able to. I thought, okay, for a condo, all I have to do is like paint walls and do new flooring, things of that nature, which is fairly easy to find someone to kind of do those tasks. But what you will find out is when you buy these distressed properties is, like I said, the number one thing is if you're not handy and your significant other isn't handy, it's, wouldn't you agree, Kathy, finding good, reliable contractors?
Yes, absolutely. That's always been the struggle. And so I kind of build that in when I'm purchasing something, is that if I'm going to end up holding it a little longer before I get it rented, I have to make sure that the numbers work and that it doesn't financially strap me. Because the worst feeling, and Dora and I, we're both cut from the same cloth when it comes to this. We started out with nothing. Both of us started out with nothing. And so when you get into some of these properties, if you don't have a little bit of reserve, the worst feeling in the world is to be financially strapped. That is the worst feeling in the world. And so that, or bad health, diagnosis. Those two things, I think, can affect your psyche more than anything else that could happen. So do not get yourself so strapped that you can't sit on a property for a couple of months in case you are struggling finding that contractor. So
I totally agree with that. And when I first started buying houses, I was 23, and I'd mentioned the one that I inherited, I was 22, but that was a single family home in Athens. So that was like a 45-minute drive. That's another thing when you're looking for properties to fix and flip, figure out, really think about this. How far do I want to drive to work on this property? And even if you yourself aren't working on it, you know, and I both know that you have to follow up with those contractors. Now, I'm a little OCD. Kathy's much more laid back than I am on this. But it depends also of how you're paying your contractor. But for me, I like to go at least several times a week when I'm working on a property and getting it fixed. Some contractors will, you're paying by the hour. I highly recommend not doing that unless you know the person and you believe they're fully, I still work my full-time job. The other thing I like to do is I like to bid out a job. And I'll give an example. If I'm going to put a new sink in, I want to know how much are you going to charge me? You know, I like to pick up my own materials because that way I can keep track of what I pay for. There's no markup. And I usually will bring it to wherever that job site is. Sometimes, obviously, you can't always do that, but you can get like Lowe's and Home Depot and Menards. They actually have a truck that you guys can rent out for $19.99. And then you have to, you know, they'll let you do that, but it's kind of first come, first serve. And then another thing, one time we went and bought a bunch of doors and we're like, oh gosh, can you imagine the delivery charge from Home Depot? So this may sound crazy, but you make it work. We said, you know what? We did the one, not the Home Depot, a Lowe's in Lancaster. And we're like, you know what? There's a U-Haul, like literally close by. Let's go ahead.
Across the street. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, so you make it work. So just remember that, don't let any limiting thoughts or obstacles. There's always a solution to every problem. There is. It may not seem like it. And here's the great thing, you guys. When you do have a problem, you bring it back here to Kathy or this group. Kathy always has an answer. It's always like, I'll say, I've got this problem. What do you think? And like, boop, she's like, here's the answer. So I'm just saying, just kind of remember that. And when you buy a property, know exactly what you're willing to do, because you're going to have to roll up some sleeves. I know a lot of these real estate gurus out there say, oh, buy a property, it's passive. Let me tell you, when you're fixing up a property, there's nothing passive about it until you got it fixed up, rented, and until you get that renter in there. And even then, it's not that passive if you're self-managing. Would you agree, Kathy?
There is a certain amount of time. Now, one thing that I have realized, and Dora, maybe you can attest to this as well. The bigger that I became, the more passive it became. And you would think that that would be the opposite. But what it did for me is the bigger that I became, and again, like I said in the very beginning, 28 doors is not all that big in our circles, but the bigger that I became, the more cash flow I had, the easier it was for me to pay someone to do some of that stuff. It's when you don't have the cash flow and all of a sudden, you know, your tenant tells you, hey, my refrigerator quit. And you're thinking, oh, boy, I could go. I've got all these leads on used appliances. I could pick up a used refrigerator, but that means I have to haul it. I have to haul out the old one and get rid of it. I have to get the new one inside. I have to get it in place. If the door opens the wrong way, I got to get the door flipped. And so it's all those things that once you have some cash flow, that a couple hundred dollars doesn't make a difference. I'm not saying it doesn't, but it gives you some breathing room that you just say, you know what? I'm not doing that this time. I'm just going to pay somebody to do that this time. And yeah. So it does make it a little more passive, the more cash flow.
I would agree with that. And when I first started out, I wasn't married. I was a single woman, you know, making a very conservative wage, and every dime mattered to me. You know, and I know you did too, Kathy. That was the same thing with you. And you're right. When you're first starting out, it is. It's like all that money. Like you'll do things like, for example, I hate stripping wallpaper. And I don't know what in the world. So when I bought the houses in Carroll, one time I had 5 houses in Carroll, single family homes. Now I only have 4 there. But all of them had, they were built like in the mid 1800s. Mm-hmm. They had layers of wallpaper. I'm like, oh my God. But I... didn't want to put drywall on some of them. I'm like, oh no, let's salvage these walls. It'll be so much cheaper and labor and materials. And I mean, now I'm at the point where I'm like, let's just throw up some drywall. You do get kind of to that point, because I hate wallpaper for that reason. And especially the older wallpaper that doesn't have the sizing, that when you're peeling it off, it just takes hours and hours. So those are some things, but kind of know exactly what you're willing to do. And I feel like when you're getting into this, definitely tear out doesn't really require much skill unless you're tearing out plumbing. Obviously that has to be, or if you're tearing out some type of electrical, you have to have that. But I'm just saying, be willing. I think when you first buy that property and you're trying to look for costs, try to do as much on your own, like the clean outs and the painting and different things. Try to be handy. And there's so many good YouTube videos out there now on how to do things, So wouldn't you say, Kathy, that you've did a lot of your own painting in the past?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I still do a lot of my own painting. Only because that's one of the fastest areas that you can cut your budget. There's a certain skill set to it, to be a painter, but it was something that I felt that I could accomplish because, again, growing up, my dad was a builder. As a teenager, I was helping him paint. So he had given me pointers and had taught me some short tricks and tips and hacks for painting as a kid. And so that kind of carried over. So painting was probably one of the easiest ways that I could cut my budget. I, at my age, I'm pushing 70. So at my age, I couldn't get down on my knees and put together laminate flooring or even the vinyl plank flooring these days, because I can't be on my knees for very long because of some arthritis. It's too painful for me. And so I do hire that out. But again, that's something that's really not hard to do. If you can do it, you can save tons of money by doing some of that. I do all my own window treatments. As far as appliances, I do let the places, deliver the appliances these days, because again, that's just something I don't feel like I want to wrestle a refrigerator, up five steps onto somebody's front porch and into the kitchen. So I do hire that out these days, but I do all of my own decorating. I do all my own staging. I do all my own painting. I do as much floor coverings as I can. But again, once you find some companies that are really good at it, that is a reasonable price, keep those on your short list, because you can flip a unit a lot faster and start the income coming in a lot sooner if you have some of those in your back pocket.
I would also, here's another big important thing, Kathy, that you've talked about as well, but like if you start buying multiple properties, pick a paint color that you really like. And then a couple different tips on that is on the back of a outlet switch, write the name of the color, where you bought it from. Like if it's, I love Sherwin-Williams paint, and you can buy Promar 200, which is a fairly inexpensive paint, and it's a quality paint. There's nothing wrong with Lowe's. There's nothing wrong with Home Depot or Menards. It's just really kind of what, you like. But once you get that color, then you can kind of use it, if you will, on your other rentals. So you don't, you buy one big five, obviously the larger gallon buckets, the 5 gallon are the cheapest, even though they're initially the most expensive. But think about this, when you buy paint and you're going to be touching it up when people move in and move out, you want to know that paint color, but put it on the back of your, your light switch covers, just kind of write it on the back of it, even if it's in pencil or whatever, pen or magic marker. So that's one tip, and like use that same consistent color. Another thing that we like to do is we like to buy white colored blinds for your house, because when people come in, they love that. And oftentimes they may not even hang curtains, which means that you don't have to repair the nails and the nail holes around the windows. So we like doing that, because some of our houses in Carroll have this beautiful historic wood. It's not that we don't want them to put curtains up, but if they don't have to, that's even all the better, less work, when someone comes in. And everything has a nice clean finish on the outside when they see a white blind, as opposed to if someone wants a purple curtain or whatever, or something different.
Well, and again, I agree with Andorra, because if you don't put some window coverings up, when they move in. And we all remember that first apartment or that first house. And, you know, we wanted to stay there that night and we didn't have curtains yet. So what did we do? We hung a towel across the window or a blanket or something. And, you know, and then they have to go to work and then life gets busy. And then, you know, 6 months later, there's still a blanket hanging across the picture window. So it really downgrades the look of your rentals when you let tenants do that. So I write it right in the lease that they have to keep the white mini blinds in the windows, and then it's up to them whatever they want to hang in the windows behind that, but the white mini blinds have to remain in the windows. And personally, and I don't know, Andor, if you agree with this or not, but personally, I just do the really inexpensive little mini blinds, you know, the $6 a blind or something, because oftentimes you do have to replace those when or a few of those when the tenant moves out. So I just buy the cheapest blinds, but it makes the whole house really look finished.
I totally agree with that. And I like the cordless blinds because, so that for the single family homes, they usually have children, right? So, you know, now they're trying to get, you know, there's the cordless blinds are the best ones to buy. Like Menards has great prices on those. And I think sometimes you can even give them like cut to fit for the windows. Now, downtown where I have these condos, I wish that I could buy the inexpensive blinds, but these windows are like 106 across. I mean, like they're like this, some of them are like this fixed glass. So unfortunately for that, I have to have custom blinds, and then they're also drilling into concrete, you know, but I don't, when I'm actually, I guess you had asked me earlier to kind of talk about what I'm doing with those. What I'm doing with those, I'm doing midterm rentals. So I go in and I kind of been doing like basic collars and things of that nature. But I'll tell you, I've seen Mindy's on here, and Mindy helps me quite a bit. Like she does cleaning and so forth, because again, I think Kathy would agree, there's nothing passive about a midterm unless they're in there for, 30 days or greater. Because you are, just remember this, you're still in two different areas of business. You're in the hospitality business, right? Just like a hotel, you're still, when they have questions or anything like that, you kind of pretty much have to be available for that. And then there's also the part where you're the landlord and you're maintaining that property. And just know that short terms and midterms are not for everybody because of that twofold. Wouldn't you say, Kathy? I know you do the bed and breakfast, which is even, you love, I do love that. I mean, but it's even more demanding, isn't it? I mean, it can be.
Well, it is, because in my short term, I might have a different guest every couple of days. Whereas in my midterms, I could go 2 months, 6 months, 8 months before I have to flip that unit. And then, of course, my long terms, I'm hoping to at least go a full year before I have to flip that unit again or more. And I have some long term tenants. I've got one couple that's been with me like 17 years now.
Wow, that's
So,
amazing.
yeah, but that's a little scary. I kind of like to get in there and see, you know, what that unit looks like. Because again, it's one of those things where, you know, some people are like, oh, I want to get in there every 6 months because, you know, if they're messing it up, I got to get them out of there. But at some point, you have to say to yourself, whatever they've messed up, they've already messed up, and it's going to be a total gut when they leave anyway. So at
That's
this point, it's going to cost the same whether they leave now or leave a year from now because they've been there so long. And so oftentimes, I'll leave that alone, and I really don't bother them too much unless they put in a maintenance request of some sort. But I do respond to maintenance requests within 24 hours. As a matter of fact, I respond to maintenance requests oftentimes within the hour I respond. And oftentimes we have whatever the problem is fixed within 24 hours, because I have put together that list of contractors and roofers and plumbers and electricians. And so whatever the problem is, I can get it on the books rather quickly.
Which is another thing, like I said, you know, even if stressing at the beginning is start creating an Excel spreadsheet or whatever you, even if it's on a piece of paper. And like I said, literally have that electrical or electrician, plumber, and heating and cooling people. Those are going to be your key people that should probably be certified. Now, obviously, if you're changing and taking a light fixture down where you're not really messing or changing the electrical wiring or the outlets or switches, you know, a lot of people can do that on their own. However, if you're doing something more extensive or you're running actual electrical wiring, you definitely need a professional because you're renting that home and you're, you know, could potentially be putting someone else in danger if the wiring's not correct. So during the fixing stage, it is important to get good contractors that are certified and asking, you know, making sure that they're certified in what they're doing, and also making sure that you have good insurance. Some people choose to do an LLC. And I think, you know, it's whatever you feel good with. But at the end of the day, it's really about having good insurance coverage. That's really, don't you think, Kathy, that's one of the most important, is having good insurance coverage. And
well, I think when we think about investing, many of us, we're putting on our entire life savings into these properties. I mean, this is our retirement. This is our savings. This is all of the cash that we've accumulated in our lifetime. And so you do have to protect it. And so for those of you that think about insurance, I kind of want to break it down for you. The only thing that insurance does is you're transferring your risk over to the insurance company for pennies on the dollar. And so you might be sitting, and let's face it, it doesn't take much to do that these days. I know it sounds impressive, but really, if you break it down, it's not all that impressive. But a $500,000 house, how many of those do you have to be a millionaire? How many of those do you have to have 2 million in assets? Or 3 million in assets? It doesn't take very many properties today to get into that realm. So when you think about what your total, I'll say, net worth could be, as you know, as you're paying those loans down and as those properties are appreciating, that net worth is just getting better and better and better and better. And over a period of 10, 20, 30 years, you know, now you've totally paid off those loans and now you own those properties. So when you're purchasing insurance, you know, do you have $3 million sitting in a bank account somewhere to cover all that? Probably not. So you need to, for pennies on the dollar, you need to transfer that risk over to an insurance company and let them have that risk. And so I'm a firm believer that even after you get your base policy in order, and I sold insurance way back in the day, when you get your base policy in order, look at purchasing an umbrella policy.
Absolutely.
An umbrella policy will pick up where your base policy leaves off. And you, for literally pennies on the dollar, you can buy another $6 million worth of coverage on there, because you certainly do not want to be the landlord who has a house fire that is determined to be your house caused it because of maybe that wiring in the wall, that their family died in a fire. I mean, how horrible would you feel not only for that to happen, but then to have it happen and you have no insurance coverage, or you don't have enough insurance coverage to even take care of the family. So make sure that you do your due diligence there. I recommend that everyone that has rental properties add an umbrella policy, so whether or not you have an LLC.
I highly recommend that. And then also, wouldn't you agree? Like, I started doing this probably, I should have did a long time ago, but hey, it's nothing, you know, nothing wrong with living and learning. But what I have also learned is to ask renters to have their own renter's insurance policy. And I even have a little write-up in my lease agreement that states, you know, because people think, oh, well, wait a minute, don't you have insurance on this house? Yes, I do have insurance on the house, but I do not have them on your personal belongings. It's up to you, the tenant, to secure your own renter's insurance. And now I've gotten to the point where they do not get the keys to my property unless they can show me a copy of their declaration page. I'll have them sign the lease agreement and everything, but I'm like, okay, one of the requirements is that you have to obtain renter's insurance. And so before I'm going to give you the keys, I need you to send over a copy, whether you email it, you know, or give me a hard copy of it. I won't give you the keys until that, because you'd be surprised some of the things that can happen. And now, and I'm just going to kind of give you an example real quick, is that I have another thing I don't allow is like trampolines at any of the properties. And I had told this one gal, I said, hey, I'm sorry, but, you know, I see that you put a trampoline up. And if you look in the contract, you know, we just don't allow that. And she's like, oh, I understand. Less than a week later, she had moved the trampoline to someplace in Lancaster. And her uncle, who was like in his 50s, was jumping around and trying to do flips. He broke his back on the trampoline. And guess what happened? where they had that trampoline, they went ahead and filed a claim on that homeowner's insurance policy. You know, it was just like whole, I mean, it just crazy things will happen. And even when you have your workers in there, because I, early on, and I still use a lot of independent contractors. I'm not using a lot of big company names. The big company names I will use for the heating and cooling, sometimes plumbing and sometimes electrical. But if someone's a certified and they're doing work on the side, I do it. But the heating and cooling, I don't mess around with that. But I guess my point is that if a contractor that's an independent contractor gets hurt on your property, they can and they most likely will file a claim, just so you know. Mm-hmm. So, and I see what, so Marty said something on here. Can you see what she said, Kathy? Something about, I can't read it because I'm on my cell phone and it kind of went away.
Well, she lived in Columbus from 2001 to 2003.
Yeah.
Beverly says they're revitalizing a lot of the areas in Columbus. Marty helps homeowners and real estate investors cancel the most interest possible from 10,000 to a million in savings for buying more properties. And feel free to connect with her. She does coaching.
Okay.
And then Sue wants to know, what is the Happy House Hunters Facebook? It's just a group on Facebook, and you can just look it up under Happy House Hunters. You'll be able to see it. It's the same as the meetup group, Happy House Hunters. It's got a yellow banner, so you'll know you're in the right spot. Yeah, Marty said her insurance agent said they'd cancel her policy if she got a trampoline.
it's crazy. You don't really, you know, and there's like silly things. Like I even had a tenant one time that had put up a pool, and it wasn't like full size pool, but it was like a, I don't know, like this plastic blow up type thing, but it was pretty big. I mean, it took a significant part of the yard, and they literally had hooked up the pump to it and had it right next to the AC unit. I mean, like maybe a foot away from it. I'm like, oh my God, you could get, and I just, you know, like, cause they had told me baby pool, and I'm thinking, oh, a baby pool was one of those little plastic pools, if everybody's familiar with it, you just take a water hose to it, doesn't have a motor. And I thought, oh, that's fine. It's not very deep. You know, as long as it's, you know, somebody's out there to watch the kids. And then when I go to the house, it's like this huge monstrosity that they bought from Walmart that had its own pump. And like I said, and when I tell you, it was like literally one arm length up from my AC unit. That's just an electrical nightmare. And they had this extension cord. Not the orange construction extension cord, mind you, but the kind that you'd put in the house, running the pump up from the basement electrical outlet to that thing. I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. But you'll find, and some people aren't even allowing, like playground equipment on their property, because if somebody falls off, it goes against the landlord, you know, that person who owns it. So I know.
I get it. I get it. These are, I've got an insurance story real quick. Back in the day, I was still working in my hospitality program, because that's my actual degree program is travel and tourism of all things. But anyway, I was working in the hospitality, and a gal that I worked with had rented a house, and she had two roommates, and the burner on the stove had stopped working. So they told the landlord, hey, this burner is very intermittent on this electric stove. So he said, well, don't use it and I'll order you a new stove. And he had sent that to them in writing, not to use that burner, and that he would order them a new stove, and the new stove hadn't come in. So one, and of course, being roommates, there were guys, she and her boyfriend were one couple of roommates, but then the other two roommates were two guys. So they had a tendency to hang out in their bedrooms instead of in the common area, because they didn't all want to hang out together all the time. And so she went out, made some French fries, put them all in a bowl or whatever, and set the grease pan to the back of the stove and took them into her bedroom with her and her boyfriend. And they were in there watching a movie. The other guys were in their bedrooms playing video games, whatever. And they had a couple of dogs in the house. Anyway, what they didn't know was that burner that was intermittent hadn't gotten shut off. And she put the pan of grease back there. The burner kicked on, caused a fire. Burnt the entire house down.
Oh my God.
Are you kidding? The boyfriend got out. They got the dogs out. The other roommates got out. Nobody got hurt, but the entire house burned down. So now the landlord, the owner of the house, he filed a claim, of course, against his insurance. And his insurance said, yeah, we're going to pay it. You bought insurance for this. We're going to pay it. But upon investigation, they discovered that she had put that pan, and if you've never been into a house after a fire, you can pretty much tell what happened. It doesn't disappear. You know, everything doesn't just disappear. You can walk in and go, there's where the fire was. Here's what, you know. So anyway, once the adjusters got in there, they said it was very clear that she had set that pan of grease onto that burner that he had said in writing, do not use. I've ordered you a new stove. And they subrogated against her and her husband for her and her boyfriend for $100,000.
My goodness.
And so she and her boyfriend has to pay off $100,000 because they didn't have renter's insurance. They have to pay off $100,000 before they can ever buy their own home.
Yeah. But that's a hard lesson to learn. And like I said, I know it seems like a pain when you get your property completely done and it's finished and you're just like, oh, I hate to ask them, you know, because, you know, you feel sorry for the person, you know, that they're coming up with a security deposit, first month's rent. But I'm telling you that renter's insurance is so important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I want to open it up for questions. Is there any questions anybody want to ask either me or Andorra? Any comments, questions? It looks like Sue just joined the Facebook group. Thank you, Sue. This has been a great conversation. We're about 10 minutes after. I know everybody's busy today, and I know Andorra is still working her day job. So, Adrian, you have a question. Go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing? Hi, Andorra. I hope y'all, and Kyle, I hope y'all doing good. I do have a question. All your midterm rentals, are all of them close by hospitals?
So let Kathy go ahead and answer yours first, and then I'll answer second.
For me, when I saw this first one that was available in Columbus, when the realtor called me and said, hey, I just bought one, there's one next door for sale, are you interested? And I thought, oh, this could be my first midterm. The deciding factor for me was that it was close to the freeway. It was not close to any of the hospitals. It was close to the freeway. And for any of you that know anything about Columbus, you can get to about anywhere in Columbus within 30 minutes if you're close to a freeway. And what I knew is that I had to enter the conversation in the minds of these traveling nurses, not make them enter the conversation in my mind. And so one of the things that they were going to be concerned with is I'm a traveling nurse and I very well could be on call sometimes while I'm here. And what that means is they are not allowed to live more than 30 minutes away from the hospital where their assignment is when they're on an on-call shift. And so that's why I went ahead and pulled the trigger on that one, because I knew that I was within 30 minutes of probably four or five different hospitals. Andorra, how about you?
So for me, okay, so I've got three midterms and they all just happen to be their condos and they're all in the same building just because I like this building. So the answer to that question is no, you do not have to buy close to hospitals. And as a matter of fact, so far, everyone that I've rented to since 2023 has not, it was like the end of 2023 when I just started buying these or, you know, getting the ones downtown. Nobody has been a nurse. So I've had two guys that were radiologists from out of state. I had a high estate professor that lives in Lancaster and just didn't want to drive back and forth in the winter months. I have an older woman whose house, her condo caught fire. And so she's in the process of rebuilding it. And then I had another guy that was going through a divorce. So you're going to have people that are going through transitions, whether it be a divorce. And I've actually had two men come and live for a period of time because they were going through divorces and needed someplace to stay. And then mine happens to be, I think the key thing, and you did say this, Kathy, is being close to the interstates. You want to be in a location that's easy, accessible. And think about it from whenever you're buying property, you know, think about from a renter's perspective, whether it be a midterm or somebody that's renting there long-term or short-term, what drew me to this house? What's the qualities of this house? What would make me want to rent the house? And if the answer to that question is that you wouldn't want to rent it, it's probably not the right house, because you really want to be able to say, this is a great, you know what I mean? It's a great house. And plus you're going to be contending with that house for depending on however long that you stay with it. Right. And of course there are times when we might buy a property. I haven't had this happen yet, but where you bought a property and really didn't like it, and you can always sell it. But my point is that if you're going to self-manage and maintain it and all that, you want to get it in an area that you like, and you want to get a house that you yourself wouldn't mind living in. I think I know a lot of people buy houses that they wouldn't live in, but I have a different mindset on it. Kathy, what's your mindset? No,
I have the same mindset as you, Andora. Every time I finish a project, the way I have it painted, the way I have it cleaned up, the finishes that I have in the unit, I always ask myself, would I live here?
Mm-hmm.
And on every single one of my properties, I would say, yeah, I would live here.
And
as a matter of fact, as a single mom back in the day, I would have given my left arm to have had a unit like some of the ones I have today. Because again, I was financially struggling, and I lived in some units that I probably shouldn't have been living in, but that's all I could afford at the time. And so now I try to cater to an earlier version of me, and mm-hmm. I've helped gals. I have a gal right now. She's aged out of the system. She was foster child, and she's aged out. And so she really doesn't have a big support group. And she's got a couple of children, of course. And so I try to make her unit just as nice as the executive that's living in one of my units. I want everything to be fresh and clean and working and nice. And one of the things that I want to encourage all of you, once you're in an area where you think you're going to invest, pretend that you're a renter and go look at what your competition has out there. You will be shocked. You will be shocked at what some people are putting out there for the prices they're putting them out for. And just make sure that you can be proud of what you're doing. Because
yeah.
This is somebody's home. So make, you know, somebody's going to live there, and this is going to be their home. Just like when you rented your first apartment, it was your home. And you
yep.
wanted, you didn't want the faucet to drip and the door to not lock and the windows to be broken. You know, you wanted a nice place. So just make sure that you bring that to the table when you're the landlord.
I think that's great advice, but that I do the same thing. I always think, oh, I would live here. One of my newest things that I've been doing lately is because some of the houses I've had for 20 plus years in Carroll. And one of the things I've been doing is when I first started out, I got like a countertop that you can get from like Lowe's or Home Depot or Menards. I don't even know what you call that kind of countertop. What's it called? Like a Formica?
Formica laminate. Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, nothing wrong with it at all. But here lately, now when somebody moves out, I've been trying to upgrade them and get granite countertops, because there's a place in Groveport called Quarry Granite, and he has remnants. And I'm telling you what, you go there, you know, and you have to kind of go in person because he's so busy. But he has an entire wing, if you will, of this building in Groveport that has remnant countertops. And you would be amazed at the prices, like for the condos downtown. And they're smaller kitchens, but I have islands and stuff in them. And he has put countertops in for under $2,000 for each. That's, I'm talking materials and install. And you get a free sink with that. And I mean, he does an amazing job. And it's like, you just have to get your measurements, like with your existing countertop. And then you'll take it to him and say, okay, I want to look at, do you have this countertop? You'll go down in person. He won't take telephone calls. That's why you kind of got to go in and look at what he has, because they are truly remnants. And once they're gone, they're gone. And he can't tell you what he's going to have week to week, because he doesn't know what he'll have left over.
That's so, a good tip. Yeah.
I mean, and it's great.
And there's places like that all around. Doesn't matter where you're located. You can find some options like that where you are.
Yeah. And then also, and last tip, if you're in the Columbus area, there's a place on Refugee Road called Columbus Liquidators. I always like to think it's like the Big Lots of Home Goods or something. You know, I mean, you go in there and it has everything from flooring down to appliances. Now, I don't buy my appliances in there because I kind of want that warranty, so to speak, or I kind of want a new, but it's nothing wrong with when you're getting started to buy, or even later at any point in time to buy used appliances, but always know who you're buying from and make sure that it works, because there's nothing worse than paying some money on a used appliance only to get it home. Because oftentimes, you guys, to get the appliance repaired, it costs more money than, and there's no guarantee it's going to stay working, than it would be to get a new appliance. So just know that. And I, another place I just happened upon recently that does new appliances that I'm absolutely loving and I wish I would have known about years ago is Costco. Costco mm-hmm. will deliver your appliance for free. They'll install it for free and they'll take your old appliance away for free. And they guarantee their work for 2 years. Like if, so I just recently bought a washer and dryer from them and they took my old appliance away for free, installed it for free and delivered it for free.
Did you say Costco?
I didn't even
Costco. Okay.
Yeah. They will do that.
Yeah. Good to know. Those are all great tips.
So.
All right. We are recording this. So if you want to listen to the replay, you're welcome to. Get in touch with me if you have any questions. I can get you in touch with Andorra. Andorra, I don't know if you want to put your contact information in for any folks to reach out to you. You're welcome to do that if you want. I know you're working full time, so I didn't know if you wanted to do that.
I can give my telephone number, but like I said, Kathy, you got all the answers way more than I do. I mean,
well, I don't know. I call you up every time I have a question.
But like I said, you're the guru on this. I mean, but I will put my number out there. Anyone's welcome to connect with me through Facebook, or even here's my number on there as well. If you have questions, I can tell you about. Did my number, for some reason, when I hit the send, it's not let me. Who can see your, can you see my name?
Do everyone.
Okay. Who can see your message?
Make sure it says everyone and then put it in there and then it should come up for everyone.
Okay.
I put my website, kathybinner.com. You can scroll to the bottom footer and there's a place to connect with me under my website, kathybinner.com. And Dora's going to put her number in there. Kyle, he put his information in earlier. I'm scrolling back to see. Yep, Kyle's information is there to everyone.
And if anyone wants to know more about like midterms, like I said, Kathy is the guru. I can just tell you what I'm doing in my little area in Columbus. For some reason, Kathy, I don't know if it's because I'm on my cell phone. It's not letting me.
Maybe.
It says Rhonda Johnson. It's not letting me pick anybody else.
All right, Andorra, give me the number you want me to put in there.
I'm going
to
put 614-736-7243.
Okay. 7243.
Yep. And like I said, I'm willing to, if anybody, thank you. If anybody has any questions or wants, would like to know. But like the key thing, the one takeaway, if you're going to do midterm, you guys, Kathy's right. Make sure that A, that the bylaws allow you to rent 30 days or greater. And then, you know, just make sure that you know that. So just wanted to make sure you guys, so.
All right. Any last comments, questions, takeaways, aha moments?
Here's a funny comment. Andorra, do you know that there's a country called Andorra in the Pyrenees Mountains?
Yes.
I go there every year.
Yeah.
That was funny. Your name is Andorra.
Yep. That one has two R's and mine just has one.
Yes. Yeah. It's a beautiful place if you haven't been there.
Oh, Raj, that's an interesting bit of trivia there. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
I need to put that on my to-do list. But yes, oftentimes when people are spelling my name and they use like the spell check, it puts two R's in my name because it recognizes the country.
Because the country, correct. Yep. Yeah.
Marty said she took a whole page of notes. So yeah, good stuff. Anyone else? Oh, look at that. Anyone else? Any aha moments from anyone? I had one earlier. Let me see who it was. Somebody said that their aha moment was the fact of the of buying the insurance, the umbrella insurance. Yeah, that was Rhonda. She said her main takeaway was the emphasis on insurance, especially the umbrella insurance.
I think that's huge. Like I said, even I know we were talking about fixing today, but that's huge because you want that. Even if you have, like I said, if you have an independent contractor working and something happens, and make sure that when you're, Kathy, you probably know more about this, but when you're working with your insurance agent to let them know, hey, I'm going to have people working on this, you know, coverage, if someone injures themselves, you know, blah, blah, blah. And Kathy, do you ever ask anybody if they have workman's comp? I don't, but do you do that? Do you ask them?
No, because when you're an independent contractor, it's optional. You do not have to purchase workers' comp on yourself if you are just a standalone independent contractor. You can, but you don't have to.
Okay.
And well, I do not.
Yeah, I never ask anybody. I probably should. But like I said, I if I'm working on a big project, and what I consider a big project is when I'm literally gutting everything and taking it, you know, sometimes down to the studs and removing walls and stuff. And I think there's a lot of great contractors out there, but I personally like to make a couple trips to make sure, because sometimes too, they could be doing something not the way you wanted it. And it's better to catch it now before they put a wall or something up, right? So that can happen as well.
Well, this has been a great conversation. So stay tuned. Every third Monday at noon, we're talking real estate. And next month, we are going to be talking, let me think, we've talked about the finding it, the funding it, the fixing it. And so next month, we're going to be talking about whether you're going to flip it, or the month after that, whether you're going to fill it. So if any of you are buy and hold investors, be sure to tune in on the filling one, especially because that's where we're going to talk about the software programs that we're using and how all that works. And Andora, you are more than welcome to come back on that one. I'll be talking on that one. And Andora and I use the same software program. And Sue, do you use Inago? Okay, Sue uses the same program as well.
I was going to ask you, Kathy, did you look into that REI thing that Inago's tied to, like for accounting backup?
I have not. I think Tammy Tebben has, because she is an accountant by trade. And so I think she's been exploring that. I have not.
I'll let you know. I'm looking into it.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah, they keep adding more and more benefits to the platform because they're relatively new in this realm of property management software. And so they just keep adding more and more and more. And I don't know about you, but for those that are using Inago, they have a great maintenance reporting platform. Tool where your clients, your tenants can report any maintenance issues. And they have really blossomed that out to make it more user-friendly, to where you can make notes and comments and you can respond back to the tenant. And there's all kinds of things you can do inside the maintenance now that you couldn't do when they first started. So they just make it better and better every month that goes by.
I'm going to say on that note, I'm even using it for my midterm, especially if they stay longer than a month. And mm-hmm. I just realized just recently, the newest midterm that I put in, it was kind of interesting. I didn't know this even existed. He had sent a report, like a move-in report. And it said, like, he was telling me which walls had like a little bit of chip, like a paint where it may have gotten hit with a suitcase or something. And I didn't even know that existed. Did you know that? Yes. And he has a report. And it was just like literally in the month of March, he sent this to me. And then it shows where I have to sign off on it, which I already knew that it had a few nicks, but I had someone move out the same day and someone move in the same day. And so I didn't really have any time to do that, but they were just little tiny nicks that he's like, well, I didn't want you to think that I did this. And I said, no problem at all. We recognize that. And thank you so much and these are the types of things that you get with the midterms.
Well, and sometimes with the long terms, but the good news is that in the Inago platform, which we're going to talk about in that fund or that filling month, the good news with the Inago platform is that it keeps all of your records in one place. And you do not have to have all this paper all over the place in your office trying to keep track of all of that, because Inago keeps track of it for you. So I do like that.
Thought that REI might be good, because it'll be all together.
Yes, it does make your life a lot more passive when you're managing a lot of buy and hold units. So, well, we're about a half an hour over today, but this has been great conversation. Andora, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
A wealth of knowledge. And Kyle, thank you for tapping in today. And gosh, happy travels there, buddy.
Question for you, Kyle. Do you got your BVDs packed, or your little, what do you call those, Speedos? You got your Speedos packed?
Actually, if anyone knows me, I don't know how to travel light. I always overpack. But for this trip, I'm taking as little as possible, and I want to do as much shopping down there as I can, because the dollar is like 6 to 1. So I'm just taking a toothbrush. Bye.
Well, good.
Down there, Speedos are very popular. You know that, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
He'll be shopping. I love it. It's on my to-do list. This is my list that you can't read from there, but these are 15 places that I want to visit here in my senior years. And one of the places is I want to go to the carnival in Rio de Janeiro sometime. So that is on my list of something I want to see is the carnival.
To go. We just missed it this year.
I know. But see, now I'll have to coordinate with you, Kyle, and maybe we can take that trip.
Heck yeah.
I hope you have a great time, Kyle, when you get back. I hope to see a lot of pictures on Facebook, right?
Or Instagram, either one, wherever we find you.
That's right. I keep forgetting I'm old school, so I'm Facebook. Mm-hmm. He's probably Instagram, right?
Well, I'm trying to phase out with from having too many different social medias. So.
All right, folks. With that, we're going to say goodbye until next time. So thank you for being with us today, and we will see you again.
Thank you.
Take care, everyone.
Bye. See you. Bye-bye.
Bye.